Joining us now in our studios is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning.
Jeff, good morning. It's great to have KYMN, the one, back on the air. Other than stream, I will tell you that TuneIn app, and really appreciate you being able to listen to it over over the streaming and using my phone or internet or whatever, because you can get KYMN anywhere you can get an internet access.
Well, thanks for the plug. We appreciate that.
You bet.
Hey, let's start off with last Thursday. Of course, the storms that blew through, really bad on the south side, lots of damage there. As far as the schools, you've got three schools right in a row, kind of right down in that area. Did you have any significant damage there?
You know, we're very lucky. The buildings themselves, we had very minimal, I wouldn't even call it damage. I wouldn't even say there's damage to the building. We just had the ground sustained, you know, some damage in terms of at Sibley Elementary alone, right in the neighborhood, you know, entering them one of the neighborhoods where there was it was worst hit. 13 very mature trees right along Ames Street, several of them right along Ames Street, several others in the back of the building down. Our grounds crew, led by Director of Buildings and Grounds Jim Culseth and grounds coordinator Tracy Clausen, started working at 5 a.m. on Friday morning, just starting to clear stuff. And you know, really, Sibley was the hardest hit in terms of tree damage, and all that was removed. Most of it was removed. We had some issues at the high school in terms of some of our external, our athletic fields and athletic courts. There were some. We had one tree that went down on the tennis courts, and that was taken care of so that they could play last night. And a few other fencing damage kinds of things. A little bit of roof issue at the high school, just with some ductwork that had flown up, but that our maintenance crew repaired that and was able to do so. And again, you know, you just have to be, you know, very impressed with the power of weather, you know, in terms of just showing that we have very little control, you know, over this. More importantly than the cleanup, I just was really proud of how the folks at our buildings on Thursday night, we had people at nearly every building on Thursday night when the storm hit. I was incredibly proud of the school staff that were on site. And that ranged from night custodians to activities director, you know, who were on site for various events. We had taekwondo going at Sibley. We had a volleyball game, a varsity volleyball game at Northfield High School. We had a ninth grade volleyball game over at Bridgewater. We had community school happening at Greenville Park when the sirens went off and the storm hit. And in every location, people followed the emergency protocol safely, calmly, and efficiently. And so, you know, of course, we're all thankful no one was hurt, you know, during the storm. But you try to get, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people to follow a set of safety protocols that they're not always familiar with, and to do it in an efficient way. Really proud of the leadership of the school staff who were there shepherding folks, and also for, you know, people from the community and visitors to the community who followed those protocols so that everyone could be safe.
You know, I recall back in my youth when we used to go through the different drills, and, you know, so often those bad storms don't happen during the school day. I mean, it seems like they tend to be later on in the day when it starts to cool off a bit. You really get some of those boomers going through. But, boy, as you mentioned, they're that full, and that really brings to mind the importance of that protocol, because things could get crazy real quick.
Yeah, and just for the parents listening, you know, it was I think they would call it an act of God. We had to close school on Fridays, you know, just due to the fact that travel conditions, even once the light came up, you know, we weren't completely sure what buses would run into and if they would have to use alternate routes, and there were still power lines down within walking zones. All those things that just came together that we just had no choice to cancel school, and then, of course, all the property damage that people were trying to clean up on Friday. So proud of our students who took that day. And, you know, there was a nice story on a local television station about our cross-country students who had gone out to a farm to help clean up. And then Coach Sullivan on Saturday morning, rather than having his team, do the traditional afterward game film, he divided them into squads and sent them out to help, you know, folks clean up. And so just the stories of neighbors helping neighbors, and it really just is what community is all about, that when you have some dark times that people come together to help each other. And so really proud of the folks' work, and just so parents out there know, you know, we do build in 2 days that we kind of consider for snow days, right? And I just want to be clear that we are, because of it, the very unique nature of this day on Friday, and that it really is an act of God, we're not, even though school was canceled, it's not counting toward the snow days, if you will, toward the makeup. And we'll be communicating that with parents in the coming weeks, but I just wanted to let people know right now that that's the decision that we've made on this one.
Yeah, being out about myself on Saturday and Sunday over the weekend, really impressed with the young people. Boy, you saw about everywhere, grabbing tree branches and doing a lot of the heavy lifting. I imagine the football team got a lot of those heavier tree parts that had fallen down. So great job. Let's move into last night's school board meeting. The big thing this time of year, it's levy time. You have to set a preliminary levy in September. We'll get more on that later on. It's not necessarily a permanent thing, but what did the school board decide on last night?
So, Jeff, as you know, every year that I've been here, and before that, every year that Dr. Chris Richardson was here, the school district's levy is different, you know, than the county and the cities. The large majority of our levy is voter-approved through either operating levy, referendum, or through previous bond issues. And so there's a lot of our items that were already voter-approved. The things that are levied that the state allows us to levy, and in fact, some of our referendum revenue as well, is really driven by our student enrollment. And as you know, our student enrollment has been going up, you know, over the past several years, 175 new students since 2015, projecting another 60 new students in the next couple of years. So unlike the city council or the county board, the school district really is governed by the Department of Education in our levy. And so what we have done for years is we certify in September at the maximum allowed by the Minnesota Department of Education, because we can always, make it less than what it was in September when we finalize in December, but you can never make it more. So just have the greatest flexibility during this process. We certify at the maximum, and in this year, it's a 2.7% increase in our levy over last year. And so this is the preliminary levy. It's what we do every year in terms of certifying at the maximum to begin with. But 2.7%, you know, is last year was a larger number because of the passage of the operating levy, because of the final phasing in of the long-term facilities maintenance revenue program at the state. But there's a number of pieces that go into it, and our levy this year will go up 2.7% over last year, and that's the preliminary levy. That's the highest we could make it. The board could choose. There's a few areas the board could choose to underlevy between now and December.
Now, refresh me. You'll have to get the final levy approved in December.
December 10th. Yes.
Are you on a school year? Or are you on a calendar year? As far as the financial cycle.
Yeah, that's a very quirky deal. As of course it is, right? Yeah. So, remember, the tax year is January to December. Mm-hmm. So what we're approving now is the taxes that will be collected from January 2019 through December 2019.
Okay.
But our fiscal year runs July 1 to June 30th. So the dollars that we're collecting during Pay 19 are the funds that we would use to fund the 19-20 school year.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Yes, it's just the way it works.
All right.
And for folks who want more on that, you know, if you watch the video from last night's board meeting, Director of Finance Val Murdersdorf does a very nice job of explaining that. Mm-hmm.
And finance was also on the agenda last night. You did some refinancing recently.
Always love to do this because, you know, as we talk with voters about, you know, the upcoming bond referendum election, you know, we talk about our fiscal stewardship of the district. I think the school has really earned a reputation of being serious about its finances and being good stewards of the money entrusted to us. And one part of that stewardship is to be consistently watching for opportunities to refinance our existing debt to save taxpayers' dollars. And over the past decade, we've saved taxpayers $5.6 million in terms of the amount that we've saved in interest that they've had to pay for previous bond referendums by refinancing existing debt. And so we had an opportunity to do that again. This one's a smaller one than what we've done in the past because some of that debt is coming to the end of its natural life, if you will. These are bonds that were for the middle school. We're refinancing about $7.7 million of that existing debt. And so by getting a lower interest rate, we'll be able to save taxpayers nearly $178,000 in interest payments. Now, the key thing here is that this is not money that the school district then gets to spend. It is money that comes that will actually come off of our levy as we move forward. So the fact is we're able to refinance this and save taxpayers money directly. And again, $177,900, $178,000, you know, it's not a ton, you know, compared to the $7.7 million of debt left on that project. You know, however, I think what it does is it shows that when it makes sense for us to do it, when we can save taxpayers money, we are watching for that. and we're making sure that we execute that when we're able to, because every single penny makes a difference. And so just we always try to be judicious with our property tax levy. Most of it's driven by MDE. We don't have the same kind of flexibility that cities or counties do. But this is an area where we're always watching, how can we save money, how can we save the taxpayer money on debt that they've already approved.
How is that due strictly to lower interest rates?
That's exactly what it is. Okay. So we work with a partner, Ellers Incorporated. They're a financial consultant for public entities. And, you know, they have a process where they routinely are looking at what are the interest rates. And there's a number of different factors that go into when you are able to do this. And so they are looking at those things in a very specific manner, very organized and tactically oriented manner, and say, okay, this is the time to go ahead and do some refunding. And so, as you know, we've done this quite a few times over the last decade. And I'm really proud to say that we've saved, you know, taxpayers $5.6 million over that time in terms of interest, you know, that they would not have had to, that they now don't have to pay. And again, that money doesn't come back to the school district. You know, it gets given back to the entire tax base. So it's a positive thing. We're really proud of it. And I'm proud of our finance director, Val Mertzdorf, and again, Ellers, for advising us on that, because we want to make sure that we pay just the right amount for the things that voters have approved.
Let's move on. And you mentioned the bonding referendum, which is coming up in November, the election's coming up in November. Anything new on that front?
Well, you know, Jeff, what I really just want to help folks know, we had our first public meeting. We're doing four public meetings and tours this time around at Greenvale Park. And so what I really want folks to remember is that we've got some additional tours coming up. The next one's coming up on October 1st, and that's next Monday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. over at the Greenvale Park School. We've got about 30 minutes or so of presentation and tour of the facility, and then an opportunity for folks to ask questions. We've got another one coming up on Saturday, October 13th, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and then the final one on October 9th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And again, all of those are at Greenvale Park School. All that's on our website, northfieldschools.org/referendum2018. And, you know, really just wanting to make sure that the public has an opportunity to come and see that facility, hear the presentation, and certainly ask any questions they have. In addition to those formal public meetings that we're doing, as you know, we are really have the full court press on in terms of making sure that people have the information that they need. We presented at Rotary last week. We're presenting at the Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday, annual State of the Schools. We've got, you know, presentations that people have requested for things like the Community Services Advisory Council. We're working with Kildall Park Point, working with League of Women Voters, Village on the Cannon, and probably about a dozen others right now for people who have an interest in hearing the story. We've got about a 10-minute presentation for those kinds of circumstances, and then, you know, people can certainly contact us. We're happy to come basically anywhere, you know, anytime over the next month to make sure people have the right information. And, you know, folks are also seeing some more print stuff from us this time around. You're just really wanting to make sure people have the information that they need.
All right. And that you have more information on the website as well, don't you?
Yeah. And in fact, you know, on the website, there's a ton of information. There's video. And there's also the tax calculator. And that's really important because, as we've talked about before, Jeff, one of the key things we heard from folks after the failure of the ambitious 2017 bond referendum election was, hey, focus on those elementary projects. Make sure you take reasonable steps, or what we call common sense steps, toward making our buildings a little bit more secure and make it cheaper. And so the bond referendum that's on the ballot on November 7th, just about $41 million, will cost the average taxpayer in Northfield, owner of a $250,000 home, $27 a year, or $2.25 a month. Our board member Noel Stratmone jokes that he spends more on Mountain Dew in 1 week, you know, than he would on this. So we want people to know that we've been listening for several years, but we have even fine-tuned things and really helped further prioritize the needs, because that's what the community told us to do. So community members just need to know that we have taken their concerns, you know, very seriously, and we've tried to put together a bond package that meets our space needs, because we are out of space in a lot of these areas, making the schools just a bit more secure, because we want to implement common sense, you know, security solutions to keep our kids safe, but also to make sure that they go to school in a welcoming learning environment. And then finally, we have just tried to make it as economical as possible, structuring the bond in such a way where it's going to cost the average homeowner $27 a year.
Once again, Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, is our guest today. You'd mentioned the facilities, and that facilities update was one of the things that the school board heard last night. Was that from Jim Kulseth?
Yeah, so Jim Kulseth, Director of Buildings and Grounds. You know, one of the things that we want the community to know is that, again, when the high school was not, you know, a new high school was not passed as part of that ambitious bond last year, I think some people thought, well, you know, the school district, maybe they'll just let that high school go and not do anything to it so that, you know, they kind of paint us to an, into a corner a few years from now. And anybody who's ever had a chance to meet and know me know that that's not going to happen on my watch. We will not allow it. Jim Kulseth and I and our board will not allow it because we've been entrusted with this facility, and we will continue to take care of it as we always have, you know, until such time that the community tells us to do something different with it. And what we did this summer is nothing different than was on our 10-year plan before. I'll take that back. There are a couple things that were a little bit different based upon circumstances that have arisen. But Jim went through all the different facility improvements last night that we did at Northfield High School alone this summer because we want to be really clear with the community. We are taking care of that facility. And so we spent almost $450,000 on that building this summer. And Jim went through a number of the projects, you know, things like we've talked about changing some of the lock, all of the locks on the classroom doors to make that a simpler process for staff in a lockdown, modifying some of the courtyard doors so that they could be used, the courtyards could be used during the flex time and making sure they're in accordance with OSHA. We had a little roof deck failure at door number 8, which is right above the football team tunnel last year. In the middle of the night, literally a 60-pound piece of cement just fell. Thankfully, it wasn't during the day and no one was there. That was repaired. We've done a ton of other kinds of concrete repairs around the building, tripping hazards, water runoff hazards, places where the freeze-thaw cycle makes it very difficult sometimes to walk in those areas in the winter. Added things like water bottle fillers because kids really like those. It promotes a very healthy lifestyle in terms of you're just really impressed with how many kids are bringing their water bottles and filling them at those water bottle stations. Improving handicapped access by adding some handicapped door operators and repairing the wheelchair lift to the weight room. We've done some improvements for flex space. If you remember when we were talking about the high school last year, we talked about some new strategies for teaching, you know, that involve a different kind of space. Well, we're making do with what we have, and we know kids don't use lockers like they used to, so we actually removed an entire hallway worth of lockers, and in October there'll be some countertop put into the space where the lockers had been with some stool seating, and then we've also removed some display cases that just aren't used anymore so we can create kind of corners where there can be some soft seating and some collaborative space like we had talked about last year. Again, not to the extent of what we were envisioning, but what we're doing is we're taking that vision and we're making it work within the existing high school. So those are the kinds of a lot of flooring replacement. We're always improving our lighting. So another round of improving LED lighting in the shop area and then also painting and doing some new doors in that area. And we started the work just recently toward a secure front entrance of the high school. There was a production room that was in the days of when we had these very large copy machines and things like that. Mm-hmm. We divided that into two rooms, one where the copiers are still there, of course, in the mailboxes, but we relocated our counselors into a updated space so that we could redo their area of the main office to be a secure front entrance where people will have to pass through the office or at least pass through what we call a sally port before they gain access to the building once the school day has started, very similar to what we have at Northfield Middle School. We redid the tennis courts, as a lot of people have seen. We moved some trees from the middle school, you know, over to the high school from the parking lot repair project over at the middle school. I could go through the rest of the list, but what I really just want to share with folks is that Jim explained last night all of the work that we've done to continue to update Northfield High School. There's another $280,000 plus on the schedule for next summer, $240,000 the following summer. So we continue to take care of that building, and we just think it's really important for folks to know that.
What about the other buildings? Yeah, you I know you've done a lot of work on those throughout the years. Was it the high school's turn this year? Do you tend to focus on one particular school each year?
You know, it depends year to year, Jeff. It depends on what the projects are at those facilities. And so the 10-year plan looks at a cycle and tries to prioritize items. And so, some years it looks more like at one building than others because some projects cost more. One example of something we did at Sibley, a building that's one of our older buildings, but it was very well built and still has a lot of life left in it. We've been, over the past several years, replacing the cabinetry in those classrooms, because the cabinetry had been original to the building in the 1960s, in that original part of the building. We completed that this summer. So we continue to take care of all of those facilities. Of course, there's less stuff to do at the middle school. You know, though, that's starting to come up where we are starting to see some of those things. We did rewire all the classrooms at the middle school this summer for digital projectors because, again, 15-year-old wiring and newer projectors and computers, of course, don't always, you know, work well together. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of something that we did at the middle school a couple of years ago. In the past 3 years, we've recarpeted all of Bridgewater. So we have a plan, a 10-year plan, and we chip away at it each year, prioritizing the projects that we think are the most important for, number one, the safety of kids, and number two, the teaching and learning in the school.
All right. Superintendent Hillman, anything else you'd like to mention, either about the school district, last night's school board meeting, or anything else?
I really just want folks to make sure that they become informed about the bond issue on November 6th. Please consider attending one of the public meetings. Go to the website. We've got some really great information there. Talk to your neighbors again. Just really want the community to know we really listened even more intently in the last year and really are pleased with what we think we brought something forward that reflects what the community had asked us to bring forward. And so we just really want to make sure people become informed. We want to make sure that they vote on November 6th. And a lot of precincts, Jeff, you're going to have to flip the ballot over. As we've seen some of the sample ballots in many of the district's 24 precincts, the question and the school board election will be on the back side of the ballot. So we want people to start thinking about flipping it over, you know, to make sure that they look at those questions on the back side. It's not in every precinct. Some precincts, it's in the lower right. In others, you got to flip it over. So crowded ballot this year, and ours is a very important question for the community to answer.
All right. Matt, thank you so much for coming in today. We certainly appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman in Northfield. You're listening to 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN Northfield. Terry's back in with local news in just a moment. State news is next.